Well, I have a couple quick announcements to make. Yeah, I'm kind of not sure what's going on there. First of all, I want to apologize for the fact that there is no program, no bulletin this morning. That is my fault. That's still super, I don't know what it's doing. I feel like I'm in a cereal bowl here. Can you get it there, Aaron? I'll let you get it. That's my fault. And the reason I'm telling you that is because I don't think any of you would be like this anyway, but in case you're sitting there thinking, man, that whoever puts those together needs to do a better job, because I know who the person that puts those together usually, and she is on vacation, and she entrusted me to get those done, and I failed. So I don't want her to be blamed for that. Secondly, second announcement, I just want to thank the team this morning. They did a great job, especially considering last night they... everything got changed for them. Ethan Whiting, who plays electric guitar and leads sometimes, was going to lead this week. He led the team in practice. And then yesterday, he is like, man, I'm not sure I want to go to church tomorrow. So he ran his face into a tree while he was snowmobiling and took a branch in the eye. So we can be praying for him. If I wasn't pretty sure that it's going to be all okay, I wouldn't make a joke about it. But he gave me every reason to believe that he'd be fine. But he didn't want to come in here this morning with a... So anyway, let's pray for him as well as we go through our time this morning. And if you're visiting here today and you're like, this is the most unthoughtful pastor ever. Sorry. Anyway, we're starting a new series this morning. If you have a Bible or if you have a Bible app on your phone and you want to follow along with me this morning, go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews is in the New Testament towards the back of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, that's where we're going to start out this morning. And like I said, we're starting a new series called God Still Speaks, Listening to the Voice of God. And I am I'm excited about this series, but I'm a little apprehensive about it as well as I approach this topic. And here's the thing. I have a sense that most of you, if not all of you in this room, have prayed before. In fact, I would bet that number is about 100%. So I'm going to try a little social experiment. How many of you in this room would say you've prayed before at least once? Yeah. Okay, everybody look around. I think I nailed it. I think we're at 100%. If you didn't raise your hand, don't do it now. That'd be embarrassing. So all of us at some point in time have attempted to speak to God, likely because we believe that he is real and that at least on some level he hears our prayers, that he's listening. And while we may not be experts at praying and talking to God, we don't really think there's anything odd or weird about engaging in that act, right? It's not a weird thing to do. In fact, if you were at work or let's say you were at a coffee shop somewhere and you overheard someone in conversation saying, well, I was praying this morning, and as I was praying, I was asking God about fill in the blank. You probably wouldn't think that was weird. In fact, you might assume that person is actually very spiritually minded. You might even find the reality of another person believing as you do that God is real and that he hears and listens to our prayers. You might find that comforting or even hopeful. But if you were sitting in that same coffee shop and you overheard someone saying that earlier that morning, God spoke to them and he said, fill in the blank, you might shift in your chair a little. You might be a little uneasy. Your response or your feeling might be a little different. Because I would guess that most of us are at least a little leery when we hear someone casually claim that God told them something, right? Can we be honest? Like, God spoke to them and you hear... Listen, we've all been there before where somebody has told you that God told them something and you're thinking to yourself, no, he didn't. I don't know who you're listening to. But here's the thing. Why is it that when somebody talks to God, they're spiritual, but if somebody says they heard from God, we think they might be crazy? you know what I mean? The title of the series, again, is God Still Speaks, which means I believe that God not only listens to us, but he also speaks back. In fact, sometimes he speaks first. There's a lot of speaking going on this morning. It's okay. It's okay. Super insensitive pastor guy strikes again. So I believe God does speak back when we speak to him. I think sometimes he even speaks first. And if that's true, then the question for us is, what does that look like? How does that work? How does God speak according to scripture? And how do we come to a place where we're able to discern and hear his voice? So this morning, I just want to make the case from scripture that God always has been and still is a God who speaks to his people. I want us to be able to recognize the ways that God has spoken to his people throughout history and to consider how he might still be speaking to us today. And as we walk through this four-week series, my goal and my hope is this, that we would learn to tune our hearts to the heart of God, and that we would become discerning, that we would have ears that are listening and learning to hear and recognize the voice of God, and that we would have eyes that can see and are becoming aware of how God is moving and at work around us, that we would listen to the voice of God and know that we're not imagining things, know that we're not putting words into God's mouth, and know that ultimately we're not crazy. Amen? This week, I put a question on Facebook. I asked, what comes to your mind when you hear that phrase, listening to the voice of God? And several of you gave me answers, and I'm super appreciative for that. Great feedback. In fact, actually, you've really helped me in shaping this series, so thank you for that. But I know that as much as we believe in prayer and speaking to God, and as much as we believe that God is still active, that he still speaks, there's definitely a sense of overriding concern among people that, like, well, I don't want to get this wrong. I want to know. Is there a way that I can know if it's God and not my own voice? And so, again, I thank you for that. And that's one of the things that we're going to address. So would you pray with me to that end as we enter into God's word together? Father, we come to you as people who know how to speak, but who are still learning to listen. And we believe that you are real. We believe that you hear our prayers. And as we open your word today, I ask that you would show us how you speak to your people. Would you quiet whatever it is that distracts us? Would you settle our hearts? Would you shape our understanding by your spirit? Teach us how to hear and respond to the voice of our shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the author of Hebrews writes this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. From beginning to end, the Bible reveals that God is a God who speaks. In fact, from the very beginning, in Genesis 1, we see a God who creates by speaking. And then he reveals himself to his creation by speaking. And as we walk through the story of scripture, looking at the lives of people like Noah and Abraham and Moses, we see a God who guides his people by speaking and who desires to be known not from a distance, but in a personal relationship. The Bible clearly affirms that God is a God who speaks to his people, both audibly and in various other ways, according to the author of Hebrews. God speaks to his people through circumstances. He speaks through dreams and visions. He speaks to people through other people. He speaks in both natural and supernatural ways. And the author of Hebrews acknowledges this, yet he or she then goes on to tell us something very critical. That God's clearest communication to his people does not come by a mode or a method, but rather by a man. Verse 2, they continue, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Think back to Christmas, wasn't too long ago, and the very beginning of the Gospel of John that we often reference during that season when we talk about the incarnation, about God becoming man. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In the beginning, God spoke all things into existence through Christ, the very word of God. The Greek word for word here is the word logos. Most of you are aware of that. You've heard of the word logos before, which not only means word, but it also means reason or plan. Just as Jesus is the logos, the eternal divine expression of God's mind and character, if you skip down to verse 14, John says this. He says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Apostle John tells us, and the author of Hebrews agree with who Jesus is as the Word of God. In verse 3 in Hebrews, if we're back to our text, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. In other words, if you want to know what God is like, God the Father, look at Jesus. The Bible says he is the visible image of the invisible God. And as you listen for the voice of God, the very first step, the very first thing we need to do, if we want to test what we think we're hearing, is hold it up to Jesus. But, and you need to hear this, we cannot hold it up to the cultural Jesus or the American Jesus. Do you know what I mean by that? Lots of people in our culture will tell you who Jesus is, what he believes, what he's like, why you're not doing a very good job of being like him. Do you know what I mean? And you know what? You may have ideas that you've, from information that you've gathered along the way about who Jesus is. A few years ago, we did a series here based off of a book that Bob Fabe wrote. Bob Fabe's a friend of mine, a mentor who has been here at New Hope a few different times speaking. And he wrote a book called Not My Jesus, which basically made the case that we, although we were created in God's image, when it comes to who Jesus is, we often like to recreate him in our own image. We want Jesus to be who we want him to be. And so like we all get our own personal Jesus. That's a song, isn't it? Yeah. I know Johnny Cash sang it. Who wrote it? Depeche Mode. Okay, great. Thank you. I had a feeling you'd know. So people will make all kinds of claims about Jesus, about who he is or what he said or believed. But when it comes to, when we look at Jesus, when we want to hold what I'm hearing, when I speak to God or when I'm listening for his voice and I feel like he might be saying something, the first thing we do is we hold that up to Jesus. And we must look at the Gospels to know if we're holding it up to the right Jesus. That's the only place where we can truly rest in who we're told Jesus is in the Gospels. If you're reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and it talks about Jesus, and you read something you don't like, and you hear another person, maybe it's a podcaster, maybe it's an influencer, maybe it's your mom, maybe it's a pastor, and they say something different, and you're like, I like that better, you're both wrong. The person that said it and you. We don't get to Jesus doesn't have to conform to our likes and desires about who he is. We need to conform our lives to who he is. And for a very specific reason, which we'll get into, but when we want to hold what we think we might be hearing up to Jesus, we need to look at the Jesus in the Gospels. And what I mean by the Gospels, in case you're like, I hear that word gospel in church sometimes, and sometimes I think it means stories, and sometimes it means like telling somebody about Jesus, and sometimes it means something different. The Gospels that we're referring to are the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can look at the book of Acts as well, but those are the first four books in the New Testament, and those are all biographies written about Jesus. Three of them were written by people who knew Jesus, and one of them was written by somebody who went around and investigated, according to eyewitnesses of who Jesus was, and wrote down a organized account of the life and words of Jesus. So that's where our truth comes from. We believe that those words are inspired by God, that those people who wrote those books got it right, and that's where we put our trust, that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the living word of God. And when you listen for the voice of God, as you attempt to discern, the first question you have to ask is, does this sound like Jesus? Does it reflect his character? That's what I mean. Does it align with his humility? I think that's very important. Does it move toward love? Does it produce the fruit of the Spirit? Again, when I posted that question on Facebook this week about what comes to mind when you hear the phrase listening to the voice of God, one of you shared three helpful guardrails about what it comes to mind when you hear that, or what you should do as you're trying to discern the voice of Jesus. And those guardrails I want to share with you. One was, does it align with Scripture as a whole? Okay. Number two, can it be confirmed by the church, by Christian community, by other trusted believers? And that was number two. Number three, does it bear good fruit? Does it lead to good results? Will it lead to good results? Because you know, there's, if you just think about some of your own experience when people have talked to you about hearing the voice of God. I remember the first couple years that I was here at this church. He's not here, so I can use him as an example. But a guy came into my office and he said, "Hey, I'm thinking about coming to church here, but I wanted you to know a little bit about me and my situation." And I'm like, "That's great, thank you, I appreciate that. That's helpful for me." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "So I'm married. I've got, this is who I am. This is what I do. But I'm not going to be married for very much longer because I believe that God is telling me." That he wants me to divorce my wife. And there's another person in my life that I believe that God wants me to be with. And I said, "So what is the struggle in your marriage? Like, what's happened?" And, "Well, nothing really. We just have kind of grown apart. And I just really believe strongly that God's telling me that I need to leave my wife and be with this person." And I said, "I really appreciate that." And in my mind, I was saying, I can tell you that God is not the voice that you're listening to. And the point here is that a lot of times the God that we want to listen to is the God of our own, the God of our own choosing, the God of our own making, the God of our own desires. And if it doesn't align with Scripture, if it can't be confirmed by other believers, and if it doesn't lead to good fruit, and by fruit I mean good works, good decisions that reflect, again, the truth of the Gospels. These are great guardrails as we learn to discern and unpack what we hear from God over the next few weeks. But I want to add one more to that list, as I've already said, and that is this. Does it reflect the life and character of Christ? And you can look at those four things and you can say, well, they're all kind of intertwined and similar in some ways, right? Yeah, they are all connected. And they kind of flow in and out of each other. And that's the way this is going to work. What we're going to get into and more next week is God has a way of speaking to us, or a way of us being able to discern what he's speaking to us. And that way is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is really going to be our guide. And the Holy Spirit is going to not operate outside of these four guardrails either. Do you know what I mean? Like, the Holy Spirit is gonna keep you in these guardrails. Because God is never going to speak something to you that doesn't align with Scripture. God never is going to say something different than what he said in the past. And so one of the things that people, when they want to hear the voice of God, is they're looking for new revelation. They're looking for new understandings about God. Or they're looking for new information that's maybe going to allow them to move in a different direction. Or they're looking for confirmation for their own biases and ideas. And the reality is God is never going to speak differently or in opposition to the way that he has spoken in the Scripture, whether we like it or not. Amen. So does it reflect the character of God? Remember, the goal of this series is that we would learn to tune our hearts to the heart of God and become discerning as we listen to his voice. And as you look at these guardrails, I think that these things can be very helpful. Along the way, we're going to learn to lean into some practices that have been embraced throughout church history. When we discern God's voice, this is going to be the biggest challenge, I think, for us in this. When we begin to discern God's voice, we need to move in response to God's voice. And again, whether it's where we want to go or not, whether it's doing what we want to do or not. Do any of you remember when you were a little kid and you wanted to ask your parents for something and you were pretty sure the answer was going to be no? And so then you started scheming and trying to figure out, how can I ask this in such a way that the answer will be yes? Did any of you do that? I mean, I used to do it all the time, right? I never thought my parents were very bright until I tried to get them to say yes to a no question. And they could never, they saw through everything that I came up with. That's kind of a good picture of what it looks like when we ask God for something, and then when we get the answer, we choose not to move in his direction. So obedience is going to be a part of this. But here's the thing. Throughout church history, there have been thoughtful Christians that have practiced ways of living that have helped them to stay attentive to God, not to replace scripture, not to chase spiritual experiences, not for a new revelation, but to learn how to walk with God in everyday, ordinary life. And that's really what the point of being able to hear God's voice. We are all trying to navigate this life, and we were created for life, but that life was, we were created to live a life in relationship with our Creator. We talked about this over the last couple of weeks about walking with God, right? And being in relationship with him. That is what we were created for, to know him, not just informationally, not from a distance, not just to know about him, but to know him personally. And if you think about it, back to who Christ is, what's the reason for the incarnation? Why did Christ come to earth? But what does that mean? I'm not picking on you, Jake, but it's true, but that's a church phrase, to save us sinners. Like, how did he save us sinners? Why did Jesus come?
So we could have an intimate relationship with him.
Yeah. With who?
The Father.
And the Son, but with the Father through the Son and the Spirit, right? So we could have intimate relationship with God. Some of you guys in here, you don't like the idea of being intimate with God. I get it. So you could have a close personal relationship with him. Ladies, a close personal love relationship with him. Guys, manly relationship, you and God. I don't know what that looks like for you to accept it, but God created you for relationship with him. In fact, God has always existed in relationship. The Trinity didn't kind of just spring up like there was just one God and he was lonely and he's like, I need a couple buddies. And so he made the Spirit and the Son. No, God is in relationship and has existed in relationship. And as people who were created in his image, we were created to be in relationship with one another and with him. And we know that our life is out of order when we operate outside of relationship, both with one another and with God. And if you don't have one of those pieces, that means this, that if you're just like this one guy, then you're just like, you're living your Christian experience in isolation. It's just you and Jesus, and you don't really need anybody else. Then you're not following the right Jesus. Like, I'm not saying that you have to become Mr. Social Butterfly, but what I'm saying is we were created to be in relationship with God and created to be in relationship with one another in that relationship with God. And I think that's very important, and I'll do my best over the next couple of weeks to unpack a little bit of that. But the whole purpose of hearing from God, again, is not, here's the way I'll say it. I think I got a slide for this. It's the one about, yeah, that's it. Okay, so listening to the voice of God is not about new revelation as much as it is about right relationship, okay? Again, like, God may show you things that you didn't know before. And that's not what I mean about new revelation. What I'm saying is this, when the author of Hebrews says that in these last days, that God spoke through Christ. He's basically telling us that this is my final authority on revealing who I am to you. This is all you really need to know. Not that we can't ask questions, not that we can't press in. And there are things about the nature of God that we just wonder about. And there are mysteries that we wish that we could totally understand. But everything that we need to know to walk in a healthy, growing relationship with God that allows us to flourish and discover who we were created to be, we find revealed in Christ. Because without the revelation of Christ, we really couldn't understand who God the Father is. But because of Christ, we can. And because Christ came, I don't know if I ever answered that question. I think we did. You answered the question about the incarnation. But Christ came to reconcile us to God, to restore the relationship with God that we were created for that had been broken by sin, right? That's why Christ exists. Well, that's why that's why the incarnation is a thing, why Christ came. Okay, I'm talking in circles. I get it. But I want you to hear me about this idea of revelation versus relationship. And I guess this is where I'll try to land the plane this morning. I don't know how much more I need to say about that. I'll be honest with you. Do I have Hebrews 3 there? Do I have you want to pull that up for me? Okay. I think I read part of this verse. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. But I didn't read the rest of that verse. After he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Oh, I know. I started out, as I read Hebrews, it becomes very clear that that the author of Hebrews is saying that God has spoken to us in many different ways in the past, but he has spoken to us in these last days most, what's the word? Go back to verse 1 or 2 there for me. There we go. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the universe. So there, you may have grew up in a church tradition that taught that the primary way that we hear from God, or maybe even a tradition that said the only way we hear from God is through the scripture. Like in these days, after Christ's revelation of who God is, we no longer hear. God doesn't speak audibly anymore. He doesn't move through dreams and visions. He doesn't speak supernaturally. All that was about revelation, and now that God has revealed himself fully in Christ, he doesn't speak that way anymore. And what I would say to that is I would push back on that. But I would push back in such a way that says, if you are seeking new revelation to hear in your trying to discern the voice of God, then I would direct you back to the Word, because that is going to be our starting point. But if you listen, the Bible also makes it very clear. And I don't have this written down, in several places that the Word is going to, God is going to speak to us through the Word. We read that the Word of God is living and active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it's able to divide even soul and spirit, that it can guide and direct us. We read that all scripture is God-breathed. The scripture, Isaiah even talked about how the word of God was our guide. And that is always going to be true. And yet, I don't want you to think that that God only speaks through his word. The word is not the only way that God speaks, but the word is going to be our normative and primary way of understanding if when God speaks to us in another way, it's really his voice. And here's the beauty of this, of what I'm trying to get at. If I'm praying and I'm seeking God for wisdom on an issue in my life. And I'm listening, but I have, like a lot of you, I have this question in my head. It's like, well, I think I'm hearing from God, but how do I know that's really his voice? How do I know it's just not my voice? How do I know that, there's a lot of philosophies out there. So I take that, and again, I hold it up to Christ, and does this look like Christ? Does it align with God's word? Does it lead to good fruit? Will it lead to good fruit? More likely than not. And again, like, can I take this to another brother or sister in Christ who is mature and say, which I would say, do that. Always do that. If I, at the end of the day, I've answered yes to all four of those guardrails, here's the thing. If God wasn't speaking to me directly in that moment, if it was only based off of my own intuition, but I had taken my own intuition and I placed it before God and I ran it through the filters of Jesus, the word, trusting in the Holy Spirit. Are you gonna be wrong on that? See, I don't think you can be wrong at that point. Now maybe that sounds weird. Maybe the way I'm saying that isn't right, because I see some confused looks, and I want to make sure that I didn't say something that I didn't think I said, or however I would say that. What I'm saying is that removes the apprehension and the fear of moving forward. So the Apostle Paul, some of you guys know, most of you know who Paul is. Paul wrote a good chunk of our New Testament. Paul was an evangelist. He was a church planter, right? When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was, blinded, he was transformed. He came out of that experience on fire he wanted everyone to know Christ. Why? Because Paul was a very religious Jew, and he wanted everyone to respect and honor Yahweh God, and he felt like Jesus was misdirecting people away from God. And when he realized that Jesus was the visible image of the invisible God, that Jesus was the radiance of God's true glory, he wanted everyone to know that. And so he actually gave up his old life to move in God's direction. But throughout his life, there were times where he would pray about something. And we read one very specific example of this in the book of Acts, where Paul wanted to go into a part of Asia. And so he just decided, this is where I'm going to go. If he would have bounced it off those four filters, he would have said, yes, they all checked the yes box. I'm going for it. And what happened? Anybody know the story? God told him no. How did God tell him no? I think he told him to go another way. Yeah, well, he came to him in a dream. The Spirit of God had to come to Paul and say, nope, that's not going to happen. Not because Paul wasn't wanting to move in the right direction, not because he wasn't thinking in obedience with God, but because sometimes we can do the right things, and I guess we could still be wrong, but God's going to have to stop us. If you trust God enough to seek his voice, and you're not sure if you hear it, do you trust him enough if all signs point in one direction to say, I'm going to go in that direction and I'm going to trust him? If I'm heading for a cliff, he's going to stop me. Does that make sense? That's what I was trying to say. And that's where I think the Apostle Paul was at. And he gives us a good example there. So my take on this series is this. I think it's very important to learn to listen to God's voice. I think it's very important for us to try to discern God's voice. I don't think it's secondary to us knowing the scripture, but I think the scripture, by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, is how we're gonna know if that's the voice that we're truly listening to. I'll say more about this, but I'll close with this. My conviction is that God is speaking all the time. Like, if you've ever felt like, man, I wish God just spoke today, like he's spoke in the past. I read, that's how where I used to be in this. I read this book and I'm like, well, it'd just be a lot easier if he would just show up and say something. If visitors, three visitors from another land would just show up at my door and I'm like, I'm going to make them a meal. And then they're going to tell me what God, you know what I'm saying? Like Bible stories where I'm hiking through the wilderness and all of a sudden there's this bush and it's on fire. And it's like, hey there, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. You know, all these things that we read in scripture and we're like, well, if God would just do that, if he would just, do you realize that those are the exceptions and not the rule in scripture? Like we read this in a vacuum and we think that like God was just bam, 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 bam. But even in like the life of Abraham, decades would go by in between when God would speak to him and when God wouldn't speak to him in the way that he had audibly heard him in a way that was unmistakable. And yet I believe that God always speaks, that God is speaking, that in your life, if you feel like I've never heard the voice of God, I would actually say, here's my guess. My guess is you've heard the voice of God lots of times, but you just didn't recognize it because you didn't know what you were listening for, or you weren't listening for the voice of God. So here's how I discovered that this is a thing. Because my wife and I will have conversations sometimes where she will say something to me, and sometimes I will even answer her, and I have absolutely no recollection of those conversations, sometimes as quickly as like seconds after I have answered her, she's like, you are not listening to me. And I'm like, I just answered you. And she's like, what did I say? And I'm like, I have no idea. I don't even know what I said back. Like, I just know that I was thinking about something else. My mind was focused elsewhere. You asked me a question. I'm smart enough to know that I need to answer. I'm just not smart enough to know that I need to listen. And the results of that are usually not stellar. And I would say the same thing is true in our relationship with God. Like God is speaking. He is speaking in some of the same ways that he has spoken all throughout history and all throughout the history of mankind, really, that I believe that he speaks through other people. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through supernatural instances sometimes, like the moments where something happens and you just stop and like, what was that all about? There's something in my spirit that said something's going on here. Maybe I don't know what it was, but I want to find out. But in all those instances, when he speaks, it's always going to come back to his word. And he speaks through his word. And quite frankly, if you want to know his voice, this is where it begins. There's a reason that we call this the word of God, because this is the inspired words of God. And I will tell you this, until you learn to recognize God's voice in here, you're always going to struggle to hear it out there. We want shortcuts. I'm not a reader. I know we have people in the church. I've had people tell me, I don't read. I'm like, how do you drive? How do you order food at a restaurant? It's like, well, it's not that I can't read. I just don't like to read. Okay, well, make an exception for God's word. Because, like, I know you want to hear from God. I know you want his direction. I know you want to experience his work in your life. God doesn't exist for you to just have the best job and the best marriage and the best bank account. God exists for you to be in the right relationship with him, where he wants to bless you and guide you and lead you into a life that he has said will be abundant and full. But you cannot know that. In fact, that same passage we'll talk about next week, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and know my voice. And knowing somebody's voice is a process. Okay, one more story to close with. I'm going to have the team come up, because otherwise I'll just keep telling stories. When we were pregnant for our first child, our first daughter, Annika, and I say we because my wife was pregnant, but I was very supportive and I tried to eat for two as well. I wanted that little baby when she was born to know me as soon as she was born. And so as soon as we started, you know, seeing her wiggle and move, and as soon as Shelly can feel it, I started talking to that baby. And it was weird. I get it. Like, I'd put my face up there, and I would, and for whatever reason, I used to, because she was all rumbly and her tumbly, I used to talk to her like the baby was Piglet and I was Winnie the Pooh. And I'm telling you that when our daughter was born, and as soon as she became cognizant of the fact that there was another human being, and I would speak to her, I felt like she recognized my voice, especially when I went into Winnie the Pooh mode. The way that you recognize someone's voice is if you hear that voice, if you make yourself familiar to that voice, right? If I was to call you on the phone, some of you, you'd probably be polite to me for a couple minutes if I just started having a conversation with you. And after a couple minutes, you'd be like, hey, who is this? And I'd have to tell you. A couple of you in this room, if you answered the phone and I said, hey, you would know it was me. Like, just from that, you know what I mean? Because we've had enough conversations. We know each other well enough where you know the nuances of my voice. You know my personality. And that's what Scripture wants to do in our relationship with God. And so here's what I would invite you to do. Because I've actually already started this, and I didn't get the bulletin done, but I've got most of this done. I created a 5-day devotional practice that goes along with this series that I would like to text you or email to you. So in the seat back in front of you, there's a card, a welcome card. If you are interested in that, if you're like, yeah, I'll try this for the first week, I'm going to create one every week. So if you're just like, I'll give it a go for the first week, I'll give you that much credit, Pastor Matt. I'll take a chance here. Just grab one of those cards, give me either your phone number or your email address, and whichever one you give me, that's the method that I will use to send this out to you. Either later this afternoon or really early tomorrow morning, you'll get that text. If it wakes you up in the morning, I'm sorry. But I would encourage you to don't just try to come on Sunday morning and hear a message from me and think that you're going to all of a sudden just have great discernment when it comes to hearing the voice of God. On the other hand, if you'll engage in this series, I truly believe that God wants to speak. I truly believe he is speaking. And the problem isn't so much that he's not speaking, it's just that we're really not listening. I even think we're hearing, but we're just not sure what we're listening for. And after 4 weeks, if you just were like one or two steps further in recognizing God's voice or discerning God's voice, would that be worth 4 weeks of like trying something? What if like you found that you were much more oriented towards obedience much sooner than you normally are when it comes to God's word? Would that be worthwhile for you? Okay. If it wouldn't, I don't really know why you're here, but that's what I'm offering to you. You can fill out that card. I'll send that to you, and I'd love to be walking this journey. Also, just like with the Facebook thing this last week, push back on it. Give me your feedback. That will help me as we go through this series, because maybe I'm saying something that almost every one of you in here is hearing one way, and I would love to know if you're like, I can't believe Pastor Matt thinks that. I should probably ask him. And maybe I'll be like, oh my goodness, is that what I said? So pushback. Or maybe you're going to help me be shaped in this process. I actually hope that is more than just a one-way street. All right, let me pray for us, and then we're going to turn it over to the team. Father, again, we know how to speak to you, or we know how to speak. But God, we believe that you are a God who speaks to his people. We believe that you have spoken in the past and that you spoke in these last days most clearly through Christ. God, help us to be attentive and attuned that we might have the Christ life in our own spirit, that we might walk in the ways of Jesus, which is going to lead us into a closer, right relationship with you. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. You have promised that you would indwell believers with your spirit. And God, would you just begin to unstop our ears and help them to be attuned to your voice and only your voice. God, as we walk through this journey over the next few weeks, I just ask that you would be gracious to us. God, I believe that as much as we want to get this right and as much as we want to hear from you, I truly believe what we see in your word is that you want to speak to us far more than we want to hear from you. So God, forgive us where we have not listened. Forgive us where we have gone our own way. But God, would you remove now any barriers as we submit our heart and our will to you? Would you show yourself to us? I pray. Because of who you are, because of the incarnation, because you desired relationship with us so much that you came on our behalf in Christ and removed any barrier that we would have from being in right relationship with you. Thank you. Amen. as you go away from this place this morning, first of all, I'm going to be out there by the door, and if you filled out one of these cards, I'll take that from you. But I wanted you to know that I'm going to be praying for you this week, asking God to reveal his voice to you. I would ask that you would pray for one another as well as me in that same effort. Church, if a church was listening to the voice of God and responding to the voice of God when they heard it, I believe that's a church that would make a big difference in its community. I believe that's the kind of church where people's lives would be changed to the degree where their faith wouldn't be just something that's a part of their life. It would be the direction of their life. And so I'm excited about this, and I'm praying for you, and I just want you to go away from here this morning knowing that there is a God that loves you, and he is speaking to you. And just as that song says, he has done taking care of everything necessary for you to be in right relationship with him and to hear from him. So may God just continue to speak, and may he give you eyes to see and ears to hear. May God bless you, New Hope Church.